ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week, time here on Robbie and Rex Road to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, here to the program. TD, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you? I'm great, man.
We're awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. TD, we were discussing this earlier. Obviously, Kevin Byard traded this week. We'll see what else is coming down the pike for the Titans here. But if you're a Titans fan heading to this game on Sunday against the Falcons, how worried should you be that this is maybe the last time you're seeing Derrick Henry play in a Titans jersey?
Well, you know what? I think that's something that you should, as a Titans fan, just be like, hey, man, it's a great opportunity. You know, that's kind of what it boils down to. I don't really think Henry gets moved, but, you know, it's a good, just looking back at all the things that he did and how many times that stadium chanted his name, the fans in there, there's a lot to it, you know, and he's a guy that once he gets going, you know, that way that he runs the football and what he does with it, it's something that inspires the rest of the team and the fans. So that's how you got to approach it.
So, TD, do you think anyone else gets moved? And do you think that once you move Byard, you've gone down the path of you should be looking to move more guys?
Yeah, I think moving KB was like the start and the end of what they'll do. And that was just something that had ramifications into next year as well. So there's a lot to unpack when you're looking at that trade. I think that probably is the trade that they make. And I don't think they're complete sellers. Obviously, that could change, right? If they lose to the Falcons, that could definitely change. But I don't think they're complete sellers. I think, you know, what we saw is basically what it will be.
TD, what do you make of the way that Vrabel has handled the quarterback part of this right. week? You know, the Ian Rappaport report that Levis is starting, Vrabel has kind of shut that down, has talked about both quarterbacks playing in the game. What do you make of the way that Vrabel has gone about that this week?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I don't know if it's gamesmanship or actually what they're going to do. I don't know, man. And that's the thing, like, you try to get that information, but everybody is very ho-hum about it, you know, so it's tough to uncrack that one. I do find it interesting that he doubled down on it. And, you know, one of the first things he said was that I never said Will Levis was the starter. So there's a lot to it as far as what he's saying and how that jives with what goes on Sunday. Because, I mean, listen, I don't see how playing two quarterbacks would be an option for them, you know, as far as like equally balanced, you know, 20 snaps, something like that. I think if they do both play, I think one gets the start in Will Levis, and then Malik Willis is just one of those things where you have a package of, you know, 5 to 10 plays to get him snaps.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think we're going to look back and say Vrabel just didn't want to talk about it, and so he came up with something. and then it's going to be Levis starting and Willis. I mean, because the thing is, TD, like, play that out for practice. Like, for people who – I mean, first of all, even with Levis alone, I think people should keep in mind the limited reps to date, right? And you know how valuable those reps are. Reps with the starters, reps with guys who you're actually going to play in the game with. So, I mean, in a practice week, I don't even know, like, how you could – I feel like most coaches in the NFL would be like, this just – like, you can't even make it work with reps to try to get ready for a game, especially with a young quarterback, right, trying to do a 2QB thing.
Yeah, it's going to be extra tough for them to get whoever ready for this weekend. And, you know, they're doing some different things as far as, like, on the bye week they threw. You got them throwing after practice, you know, outside of this week. They're throwing after practice with some of the other receivers like Mason Kinsey, Colton Dell, et cetera. It's definitely hard because the reps are limited. But one of the things that they did say was that they have these guys calling the plays like they're calling their own plays, right? The Titans' plays. And they're able to go wherever they want with the football as opposed to where the defense wants them to go. So they're getting somewhat of a look. It's obviously not the same because the reps are just different, but they are getting a look.
So, TD, you know, if Will Levis starts on Sunday, given what's currently around him with the offensive line, the weapons on offense, all those things, what are your expectations? What should Titans fans' expectations be for Will Levis, a guy who we've barely seen play at all at the NFL level to this point, even in the preseason, and that's making his first career start?
Yeah, it's really hard, Robbie, to, you know, establish expectations. I think the main thing is what you're going to see is just, okay, how does he process? How do things work for him as far as going through his progressions? How does he respond when he gets hit in the chin? I think those are the things that you're going to see, and that's kind of the expectations is to, you know, see how he will bounce back from those tough situations. And, I mean, look, you want to get a look at what you have at quarterback. You can't get a true look because of so many different factors. But the things you could learn is like what he's made of. That's something you can learn with this. And we know the offensive line is the offensive line. And these guys from Atlanta, you know, Grady Jarrett, Bud Dupree, Calais Campbell, you know, Arnold Ebiketie, these are guys that, man, they'll come after the quarterback. So how is he going to respond when he keeps, you know, getting hit and getting punched in the mouth? How is he going to bounce back? That's what you're going to see. And I think, you know, the expectation should be for him to continue to stand strong in there and try to make something happen.
Well, speaking of that offensive line, TD, so Nicholas Petit-Frere is the guy now at left tackle. Vrabel confirmed that. I mean, I assume that's just the plan moving forward. And, you know, it wasn't great for him coming out. I think there should be a little bit of patience just in terms of a guy hadn't been playing for a long time, comes in, you know, and he had some rough snaps in that game in London. But I know we've talked about this before, but given that situation, like, where are you right now on, like, if Petit Frere isn't a whole lot better than what Andre Dillard was, I mean, and this team is still in it. That's, to me, he's got to be a big part of this question. Do you think that Skoronski at left tackle just for this year would make sense, or is that just a dead issue at this point?
Yeah, I think it's a dead issue because he's not getting any reps there, and he didn't get any reps there. So to ask him to convert to that at this point, like, I think it would be unreasonable. And look, man, Skoronski at left tackle is something that so many people want to see. It's a concept that they're holding on to, but I don't think you're getting it this year. I really don't.
Didi, going back to the Vrabel part of this, and we talked about this on the show the other day, like him coming out and like just immediately shutting down the Will Levis thing the other day like he did, do you sense some frustration from Vrabel that report from Rappaport got out there that Levis was starting on Sunday?
Yeah, I think there is some frustration there. I think there is. Who it is that's leaking that, I don't know. It's just funny to me. And Jarrett and I, we talked about this extensively yesterday. You know, it's just funny to me how every time any Rappaport report comes out, it's like, hey, Rand Carthon did it. Rand is the guy. He's telling. We don't know that for sure. So I don't know who it is that is Rappaport's connection there in the building, but he obviously has a very, you know, reliable one. But I just don't see why we continue to just automatically connect that to Rand Carthon.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I think one thing is like he's the new guy, right? And so all of a sudden Rappaport is doing things. But I heard you with Jared, and you're right. I mean, it could be one of his people who are also new in the building. I mean, I would hope Rappaport would not go at that. He said sources, so he said two, would not go at that just on like Levis's camp, right? Like, to me, there's got to be someone in the building.
Good point.
But listen, I mean, I'm not a fan of source guessing. I think regardless, TD, I do look at this like the way Vrabel reacted to that and the way he's talked about it, they didn't want that out there, right?
So
there is some sort of like miscommunication or lack of communication. And this happens in buildings. Buildings have leaks. And then sometimes the coach has to deal with it. But do you feel like that is, who, regardless of who it was, do you feel like that's something to watch or something to be concerned about moving forward?
Yeah, I do. I do. I do feel like it's something to be concerned about because, you know, there's some things that you don't want out there, right? And this is one of them. And it's one of those things where it's like, okay, you want to find out who is leaking the information. You give different stories to different people and see what comes out there. And that's how you find it out, right? It's just like, you know, if you're at work and somebody keeps eating your lunch at work, you put something in there to make them sick and they eat your food and they get sick and you know who did it. Actually, funny story, that's what my dad did when I was younger. I remember he did that to somebody and, you know, when they got sick, he beat them up, you know? So that's kind of how you figure out what it is, man.
Oh, that could be the greatest thing I've ever heard. TD, last thing here for you. The Oilers throwback jerseys, where does that one rank for you on the best throwbacks in the NFL? Those Philly ones are pretty sweet, too.
Yeah, you know, Terrell Edmonds, he said, man, he might be able to get a trophy for the best back-to-back, you know, throwback uniforms. I think they're right up there, man. Love that blue uniform and it's the helmet, man, and just the red highlights on it. It's so dope. I will say this. The Seahawks are wearing their throwbacks against Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
And that throwback uniform is dope, too. But I think it goes the Titans, you know, throwback Oilers, the Kelly Green. Then I'm going with the old Detroit Lions and then the Seattle Seahawks ones.
I love it.
No love for the Bucks, huh? No love for the
creamsicle?
The creamsicle.
You know, the creamsicles are that's a cool, but I just love how the red face mask it has the highlight. It highlights, you know, the red in the oil rig, and then you throw the Sean Murphy bunting, as a matter of fact. His cleats. Watch his cleats that he has to go with that, man. There's just something about that baby blue and red that just it pops, man. It's all that.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome coming up on Sunday. Looking forward to it. TD, great stuff as always, man. Thanks for being with us. Have fun this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, for sure, man. Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely, Teron Davenport, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Friday morning. At 8 o'clock, we'll react to what TD had to say there. Got some of your thoughts to get to on the Titans and the Falcons on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.